Okay, hi everybody. Well, it's a few days later now, and we are beginning program number 54 in Letters on Occult Meditation. And we're talking now about a probationer's three objects. Let's see, what have we been discussing? Yes, a very important section about the two initiations on the ray of the ego, and starting from initiation three and including initiation four, the ray of the monad coming in. But this is not to say that the ray of the ego is no longer important. As a matter of fact, there are some references which tell us that the third initiation is taken still on the ray of the ego. But then if we look at the true ego, we find that it is the spiritual triad. And if you check out Cosmic Fire page 176 and 177, you'll see that within the spiritual triad, there are found two rays. One that is the same as the ray of the ego, and the other which is an impress from, well, I'm going to say it, one of the rays of the monad. Perhaps the ray that is encountered on the monadic plane. Beyond that, there is, I believe, a higher ray to the monad when it becomes the liberated monad, and that takes us to one of three choices rather than seven choices. Seven choices of monadic ray on the monadic plane, and three choices of monadic ray on the logoic plane. At least this is my present impression until proven otherwise. I also want to point out here that in Esoteric Psychology 2, page 18, then in time the soul ray at the third initiation begins at the third initiation to blend with the ray of the monad. So it has not disappeared. The ray of the monad, the life ray. The higher initiate is therefore a dual and not a triple expression. There are many of these references which signal that the ray of the ego at the first of the solar initiations is still important, even though the reference on page 267 in Letters on Occult Meditation seems to say that you're taking the third initiation on the ray of the monad. But here there's a blending, rather a blending. And here is another reference. Let's see if I can show it to you, because I may have missed the last one. After the third initiation, he locates, now this is after the third initiation, he locates his soul, or maybe we can say he locates his consciousness, if one may use such an inappropriate word, locating the soul, on one of the three major rays, though until that time it may be found on one in one of the seven ray groups. And that is something, this is something that has to be taken into consideration, because we still do have seven types of monad. From that exalted attitude, or attitude, he strives towards the essential unity of the monad. The fact of there being seven ray types carries great implications, and the intricacy of the subject is baffling to the neophyte. I think we can include ourselves among the neophytes. Yeah, this is an important study. Every human being finds himself on one of the seven rays. His personality is found in every life upon one of them in varying rotation, but not always. Sometimes the personality ray remains. According to the ray of the ego or soul, it seems to tell us that the personality life has a variation or rotation of a particular kind according to a particular pattern dependent upon the soul ray. And here too, looks like, what book is this? Is this the Esoteric Psychology 2? Volume 1, rather, it is. And it says, these three are the sum total of all forms or appearances, the givers of all qualities, and the emerging life aspect behind the tangible manifestation, life quality appearance. We're dealing with that triplicity. They correspond in the human family to the three aspects of personality, the soul, and monad. Now, this is the point. The monad is dynamic will or purpose, but remains unrevealed until after the third initiation. And particularly, we are told that at the fourth initiation, the monad makes a great impact. And then its nature, I would say, is far more fully known. So the first solar initiation, which is the third, is kind of a blending of the monad and the egoic ray, monadic ray and egoic ray. Yes, I can see that this is a compilation we'll have to make, and we'll have to go over this carefully. But again, the idea is the blending of the egoic ray, we usually call it the soul ray, and the monadic ray at the third degree. At the third initiation, this is from Initiation Human and Solar, page 86, termed sometimes the transfiguration, the entire personality is flooded with light from above. It is only again after this initiation that the monad is definitely guiding the ego. And there's more to be said here about it. And there is the reference, page 86 and 87. Sometimes I forget to show the reference. It's always easier when you can see the words, of course. So anyway, we get the idea. There is a gradual takeover of direction from the monadic ray following the third initiation, and already a kind of blending occurs. But since man, a master is still man, then the ray of the triad is still important. But within the triad, there are actually two rays which are operative, and one is the same as the soul ray. The permanent atoms of the triad are always the same, and the same as the soul ray, and that can be found in Esoteric Psychology 1, page 168, 169. But there is monadic influence within the triad. And so one of the rays of the monad, and perhaps we can consider it a subray as found in seven different types on the monadic plane, also influences the triad. I think I really need to get that particular compilation together and bring as much clarity to it as may be possible. Anyway, that's what we were talking about earlier. Now we have a probationer's three objects. And I'll make sure that we have a bracket. During the period wherein a man is under probation, he is supposed to be developing three things. Number one, the ability to contact his group, in other words, to be sensible to the vibration of the group of which some particular master is the focal point. He contacts it at times and at rare intervals at first. Okay. Now, there is an interesting city or power found on the second subplane of the mental plane, wherein the causal bodies, or whereon the causal bodies of initiates of the first and, well, first, second, third, and fourth degree are found. And that city is called response to group vibration. And that's what we're talking about here. The ability to contact his group. Yes. But let's make sure, again, you know, that we can see what we're talking about here. The Zoom is different from GoToMeeting, and you have to take a couple more steps here to show your screen in the Zoom. So, during the early parts of his probation, whilst he is under observation, he can only sense and hold the group vibration, which is the master's vibration, for a very brief interval. He will at some high moment link up with the master and with the group, and his whole being will be flooded with that high vibration and surge upward in an outburst of his group color. Then he will relax, you know, we're talking about tension and relaxation, drop back and lose the contact, for his bodies are not refined enough and his vibration is too unstable to hold it, for long. Okay. So that's the later it becomes, of course, more stable. And maybe we have this experience and maybe we should find out what it is that induces for us this experience. At some high moment, he will at some high moment link up with the master and with the group. And then, of course, the release of the point of tension follows. This occurs because of the release of the necessary point of tension. Well, certainly we have the experience of moving from various points of tension to others, higher or lower, and we probably recognize the effect in terms of the feeling of alignment or the registration of alignment. But as time progresses, longer or shorter according to the earnestness of the pupil, the frequency of the times of contact increases. He can hold the vibration somewhat longer and does not relax back to normal with so much ease. Then the time comes when he can be trusted to hold the contact fairly stably, and he passes then to the second stage. So we can take a look at our progress over the years and try to judge the degree of stability with which we hold this this contact. It's not easy at first, but there are definite internal indications which tell us when we are holding it. And otherwise, we may feel a sense of relief, but on the other hand, there is a loss, a sense of loss that goes with it. The form must be worked up to the point of strength, sensitivity, and resilience. So what are we looking at here? He's supposed to be developing three things. Now, the first thing was the ability to become sensitive to the ashram's vibration, sensitive to the master's vibration. Okay, then, the second factor, the second thing he is supposed to be developing on the probationary path is the faculty of abstract thought, or the power to link up with the higher mind via the causal body. Now, the point of abstract thought is the monastic permanent atom, and most of the causal body anyway is on a subplane lower than the first subplane on which the monastic permanent atom and its abstract mind are found. So, occasionally he does give an enigmatical idea that the jewel in the lotus itself is found in a kind of borderland between the higher mind and the Buddhic plane, which is, I think, difficult to understand. But in general, the position, the location of the egoic lotus is found on the second subplane where we have response to group vibration. So this is the second of the factors that he is supposed to be developing on the probationary path. The first being, you know, contact with the master and with the ashramic group. He must learn to contact the lower mind simply as an instrument whereby he can reach the higher, and thus transcend it, until he becomes polarized in the causal body, and we might say at the third initiation. Then, through the medium of the causal body, he links up with the abstract levels, and this This shows the causal body to be, as it were, below the abstract mind. Until he can do this, he cannot really contact the master, who, you know, these days anyway, is having a Buddhic focus. For as you have been told, the pupil has to raise himself from his world, the lower, into their world, the higher, and their world is the world of the cosmic ethers. So, the position of the concrete mind changes, and its domination changes, and it becomes a secondary factor. So we have a three-tiered system. We recognize that of concrete mind, son of mind, and abstract mind. And maybe to look at that, if we can. Let's see, what have we? Maybe we can do it this way. And we'll look at F-disc. And Tuya's diagrams. And let's see. Should just take a moment. Okay. And let's see if we can get this now. A three-tiered system. There. The area of the concrete mind, all of these four, with the mental unit at the highest vibratory level of the concrete mind. Then comes the higher mind, or son of mind, subplanes 3 and 2. And then comes the area of the abstract mind, which is vibratorily above the normal positioning of the egoic lotus. Now, the way the lotus is drawn here, it seems to have some contact with maybe certain subplanes, sub-subplanes. There is the first subplane, but then there are 7 still subsidiary, and maybe the egoic lotus has some contact with those sub-subplanes. You know, if you look at it, the whole cosmic physical plane, we seem to have 343 sub-subplanes. We have 49 subplanes and 7 planes. But those planes, solar planes, or what else can we call them, systemic planes, are actually cosmic sub-planes. Just as long as we get that, you know, straight, as much as possible. Okay. Now, going on a little bit. Now, we have, so on the probationary path, we are coming in touch with the master's vibration, the ashramic vibration, and the ability to contact his group, or to be sensible to the vibration of the group of which some particular master is the focal point. So that's requirement number 1. And requirement number 2, the faculty of abstract thought. And we distinguish abstract thought then from concrete thought, and even from the kind of thought that we find within what we call generally the son of mind, or just higher mind. Abstract thought is already part of the spiritual triad. Now, both these things, the power to touch the master and the master's group, and the power to polarize himself in the causal body and touch the abstract levels. You know, there's one kind of diagram that seems to show that. Notice, if we were within the causal body, one of the strands of the Antikarana, there are three strands or three major conduits, could be a bridge from centralization within the causal body to the monastic permanent atom, this one. This one is earlier in the game and involves the ability to at least touch into the egoic lotus from the meditative position of the mental unit. And this conduit bypasses the soul altogether, but not without absorbing soul energy in a pool of retained energies around the mental unit. So DK has taught us in about 100 pages of teaching how to build this particular conduit toward, if not entirely into yet, the abstract mind, the lowest part of the triad. Okay. Now both these things, the power to touch the master and the master's group, number one, and the power to polarize himself in the causal body and touch the abstract levels. We can do it also by the Tibetan's guidance in his Antikarana instructions, are definitely the result of meditation and the earlier letters you have received from me, which will have made this clear. So one and two are here for the probationer. Let's see here. I'll say both requirements, one and two, are here listed. Okay. Just make sure. Yeah. All right. There is therefore no need to recapitulate the earlier imparted data, save to point out that by strenuous meditation, note that word, DK is, as a master, one who understands the need for strenuousness. Strenuous meditation and the faculty of one pointed application to the duty in hand, which is, after all, the fruit of meditation worked out in daily living, will come the increased faculty to hold steadily the higher vibration. That he talked to us about that a little bit, I think. How difficult it is at first to hold that vibration for any length of time, but in time, after all, it becomes easier. And if we, especially, if we carry out in daily life, as a result of what meditation indicates to us, the fulfillment of our duty. Again and again, I would reiterate the apparently simple truth that only similarity of vibration will draw a man to the higher group to which he may belong, to the master who represents to him the lord of his ray in Shambhala, but the master has the same. In this case, for so many of us, Master DK, using his soul ray particularly, of course, it's not absolutely established that he has the second, the third ray monad, but look at the Buddha, the second ray soul and the third ray monad. And I think in a very strong way, given the past of the Master DK, he has something similar. But the Christ, I think, is clearly the second ray monad and the second ray soul. And maybe that is true as well of Master KH, perhaps. Master DK goes into all the many, many details, and Master KH's approach is, well, can I call it more general? Very, very deep, and Master DK would be the first to indicate that. He said, you see in the expression of the eyes of the physical vehicle of Master KH that there is a the wisdom of the ages pouring forth. So here DK is repeating the apparently simple truth that only similarity of vibration will draw man to the higher group to which he will belong, may belong, to the master who represents to him the lord of his ray, not the lord of his ray directly, that great being in Shambhala, to the world teacher who administers to him the mysteries, to the one initiator who effects the final liberation. Well, what is that final liberation? Is it mastership? I mean, obviously, there is another initiator for the sixth degree and still another, the planetary logos, for the seventh degree. And to the center within the heavenly man in whose body he finds a place, and I assume that's a monadic center, I think. As there are seven great circles, page 39, Letters on Occult Meditation, seven great circles in which human monads and deva monads find their placement. And then as well, eventually, they find their placement in one of the three greater circles found upon the logoic plane. Well, anyway, only similarity of vibration will draw the man. So we have constantly to refine our vehicles, increase our frequency, intensify our point of tension, which is equivalent to increasing the frequency of the impacts we can receive due to our own increased frequency. Everything is keyed up. I think that's maybe a good term. All within our system is keyed up. It is the working out of the law of attraction and repulsion. Notice he includes and repulsion, not just the law of attraction, which he sometimes limits himself to, but sometimes he gives both attraction and repulsion. It is the working out of the law of attraction and repulsion on all planes that gathers the life divine out of the mineral kingdom on the upward arc, right? Out of the vegetable and animal kingdoms, that draws the latent deity from out the limitations of the human kingdom and affiliates the man with his divine group. So we are told how to rise. How to rise. And it is by a keying up. Okay. An increase of frequency. The same law affects his liberation from subtler forms that likewise bind and blends him back into his animating source, the Lord of the Ray, in whose body his monad may be found. I think this is a very important one. We have seven ray lords, apparently, in Shambhala. And the monad of the man and of the devas is found within one of those seven spirits before the throne. But eventually there are, it seems, three spirits before the throne. It comes to a reduction from seven down to three on the path of return. Okay. The law of attraction and repulsion. We are only apportioned to the pattern in which we truly belong vibratorily. Therefore, the work of the probationer is to attune his vibration to that of the master, to purify his three lower bodies so that they may form no hindrance to that contact, and so to dominate his lower mind that it is no longer a barrier to the downflow of light from the threefold spirit. We do see that kind of skepticism, contact reducing skepticism, which prevents those upon, let's say, well, it's generally the hardline rays, but rays 3, 5, and 3 and 5 especially, perhaps, we do see that they do block the higher impression due to a wall of thought forms which seem to indicate to the man the impossibility of the existence of these higher impressions and higher centers. So we have attunement, purification, and domination of the lower mind. Now, a lot of the work done in the new esoteric schools is all about dominating the lower mind with more refined, more abstract impressions. As I said, the mind is too concrete, the emotional body too unstable, and the physical body too weak. And hence, at one point, he says, and this is the reason for the necessity to have the new esoteric schools, the new kind of occult education coming through the esoteric schools. So do we recognize ourselves in this? Well, I'm sure we're all doing our best to attune to the vibration of the master. We're doing what we can without fanaticism to purify the lower vehicles. You know, it's so easy to become so focused on what he says, doing the right thing physically, that we ignore higher possibilities. And finally, to use the concrete mind, what do they say? The mind makes a good servant, but a poor master. So we're learning how to not let the concrete prejudices determine what it is we consider to be true. We're learning how to prevent those concrete factors from shutting out the higher worlds. Thus, he is permitted to touch that triad. Note the word permitted, because again, you know, we seem to think we have the right to rush in, often where angels fear to tread. Thus, he is permitted to touch that triad, the threefold spirit. I'll put that down. And the group on the subplane of the higher mental plane to which he by right and karma belongs. And so even though the ashram, many ashrams, have moved to the Buddhic plane, if one has not taken the fourth initiation, then the causal body still exists on the second subplane of the mental plane. Okay. All this has brought about, it's like his refrain, it's like the sort of the cadence at the end of every phrase, you know, he lists many achievements and then says, and these achievements are due to meditation. All this is brought about by meditation, and there is no other means for achieving these aims. So if we're not convinced when we start the book, by the time we finish, we are very convinced that we have to pursue occult meditation in the right way. And here then is the third thing which the probationer has to do, and is to equip himself emotionally and mentally and to realize and prove that he has somewhat to impart to the group. with which he is esoterically affiliated. After all, we have to, you know, give something. We have to offer something. So let's make that a little bigger. So we realize that some kind of impartation to the group on behalf of the group is needed by the probationer. He cannot simply aspire and despire. There is a veil, you know, on the etheric plane called the veil of aspiration. One gets caught aspiring and doesn't do anything that really advances the plan or the cause. So it takes, you know, there is an equipping that goes on here. And if we don't equip, we don't have something to offer to equip himself. And that's, you know, certainly internally in terms of esoteric affiliation. It's not just a question of the outer group. Think upon this, he says. Too much emphasis is laid at times upon that which the pupil will get when he becomes an accepted disciple or probationer. Accepted disciple generally, you know, is the stage following that of the probationer or the, you know, pledged disciple, the accepting disciple, the probationer, the accepting disciple, the pledged disciple, and then finally the accepted disciple. But it's about getting, and there's where the Christ's statement, it is better to give than to receive, comes into focus. I suppose only the people who have given really know that that is the case. Too much emphasis is laid at times, not always, upon that which the pupil will get when he becomes the accepted disciple or probationer. It should be really reversed. I tell you here, in all earnestness, that he will not take these desired steps until he has somewhat to give and something to add that will increase the beauty of the group, that will add to the available equipment that the master seeks for the helping of the race, because, you know, the ashram is the master's equipment. It's his instrument. And that will increase the richness of the group coloring. So this is really important in striking a blow against spiritual selfishness. Because if we are in the mode of acquisition, we have placed the cart before the horse. We are wrongly motivated. We could aspire, inspire to get and get, but it's the one who aspires to give, to share, to help, to lift, that one achieves. So anyway, until he has something to give, this is the key. Okay. This can be brought about in two ways that mutually interact. So how do we prepare for the giving rather than the taking? And point A, by the definite equipping through study and application of the content of the emotional and mental bodies. Of course, the physical body will come into the picture, and we can understand that to study will equip the mental body, but did we understand that to study will also improve the content of the emotional body? At least, Mercury in relation to Scorpio has such a supervisory impact upon the emotional body. We do see what it is we do, and we tend to regulate accordingly. The mind is the regulator, and when the astral body is examined, those and when we are given understanding through study, then the regulation of the astral body occurs. So that's number one. How it may happen that we are equipping ourselves. So let us say here. Okay. So this is all about equipping. Yeah, this is all about equipping. I'm going to have to change that spelling there in a second. We cannot, you go to medical school to become a doctor. You don't, if you want to be a surgeon, you better be well trained. And so the equipping factor is through a deep meditation, of course, but through study. And of course, service teaches its lessons. So this is all about making sure that we have the necessary equipment to really make our contribution to the ashram. We can get in touch with the master and his group, and we can, what else can we do here? And we can touch the realm of abstract thought. Right. So this should be point number three. And set numbering value, and anyway, number three. All right. And then, not only that we equip through study and whatever other factors like meditation and service can bring to our equipping, because they confirm the knowledge that we think we have. They can confirm the methods. Point B, by the utilization of that equipment in service to the race on the physical plane, thereby demonstrating to the eyes of the watching hierarchy that the pupil has somewhat to give. So service demonstrates Let's see here. Let's just say service upon the physical plane demonstrates the fact that we have something to give. We're not just a dependency upon the ashram. We actually have gifts, and we've earned them because we've paid for them. We've paid in the way we've used our energy. We've expended time and effort and concentration to acquire these things. He must show that his one desire is to be a benefactor and to serve rather than to grasp and acquire for himself. Well, there is the factor of selfishness until the second initiation is taken. It, under Mars, is a pretty strong motivation. And we see that in the competition that exists in political life. This life of acquisition for the purposes of giving, you see, that's okay, must have for incentive the ideals touched in meditation, and for inspiration these downpourings from the higher mental levels and from the Buddhic levels, which are the result of occult meditation. Acquisition for the purpose of giving, and that acquisition is earned. Let's put it down. The acquisition is earned. So meditation raises the idealism and gives us the incentive. And we reach towards higher points of tension, and downpourings occur, and the downpourings inspire. So again, you know, occult meditation. Occult meditation. Okay, and I just want to make sure here that we realize that acquisition is not just handed to us. In fact, we have earnestly sought it, and we have paid the price. Okay. When these three results are brought about, and when the high vibration touched is more frequent and stable, then the probationer takes the next step forward and becomes an accepted disciple. So basically how he looks at this is probationer, and then, if I can find one of my arrows, you know, probationer to accepted, ACD, accepted disciple. There do seem to be some, other subcategories in here, the accepting disciple, the pledged disciple. But maybe we could say that the accepting disciple and the pledged disciple both still belong to the probationer, the tested category. It's a long time before the first initiation. We're on the path of aspiration. It's a little more serious to consider the path of probation. The path of probation is a little more serious than the path of aspiration, yet, and it is frequently said, every true aspirant has passed the first initiation, every true aspirant. So we aspire, we are willing to be tested, we take the first initiation, we continue to be tested, we are pledged to adhere to the path, and eventually, somewhere before the second initiation, we are accepted as an accepted disciple, because of course we have been an accepting disciple and then made our pledge and then stuck to that pledge, and so only then are we the accepted disciple. So three major results and contact the master and his group, and think abstractly and in general equip oneself and when yes and give. These are the three results. And we can work our way up then into accepted discipleship, which we will take on next time we are able to work together. It's a fascinating stage, of course, to people like ourselves. And in Discipleship in the New Age, Volume 1, at the end of the book, approximately 100 pages, it goes into considerable detail about what it means to be an accepted disciple and how one recognizes that to be the case, whether, in meditation or a dream experience, or sometimes use of a thought form of the master or an interview in the master's ashram. I think I'm leaving one out. There are five modes of recognition. Well, we're all aiming for that. That is an acquisition of a certain status which will make us truly useful, truly useful, and is a technical phase Well, I think in later books he goes into it in greater detail, but here something of the nature of advancement is given to us. And some of these very important letters regarding how we should anticipate our work with the master, and how we prepare for it. We're getting closer now to the whole question of the esoteric schools, which still lie quite a bit into the future, but of course we are preparing, and those who take the whole matter seriously are seriously preparing and will arrive at their destination more rapidly. It's amazing how much our own efforts make the difference. It's just like in ordinary life itself, our own efforts do make a considerable difference. And we are not handed gifts that we do not deserve. So, moving on from the probationer, you know, DK doesn't put all of those in between stages there. He calls it simply moving on into accepted discipleship. So even if you take the first initiation and are a true aspirant and a pledged disciple, you may not yet be an accepted disciple. You're still on probation after the first degree. Usually, almost inevitably, acceptance does not occur immediately around the first degree, nor does the second degree follow in very short order, although there is one reference which seems to indicate it can even follow in the next life. But that is the exception rather than the rule. Okay. So our next work will be on accepted discipleship. Not as exhaustive as in Dina 1, but still a good foundation. And we have worked on this program 54 from page 267 to 270. And we'll begin when we can. I've been delayed in continuing as rapidly as I would have liked, but okay, I'll see if I can increase the tempo of things, and we'll get into accepted discipleship, starting from page 270. Meanwhile, plenty of study, plenty of meditation, all indicated, and plenty to apply. And we'll talk to you later. See you soon. Lots of love, many blessings.